Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Programme for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our programme is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to the attention of humanity that is suited to its needs at that particular time. Usually, this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces is in decline, and as our solar system moves more into alignment with the constellation of Aquarius, new energies begin to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly, and chaos ensues as the old order begins to crumble to make way for the impulse of sharing, justice, and peace for all.
Good morning, everyone. Today, we start with a message from a Master of Wisdom about the return of Maitreya, the world teacher, into the everyday world and the effects of his presence. Following this, we have an article from the environmental scientist David Suzuki, emphasising the document produced by 1,700 leading scientists worldwide called A Warning to Humanity. A more topical article follows from the Trends section of Share International magazine in an open letter to US mayors and President Donald Trump. And the program will be completed with a message from Maitreya.
In these strange times, the world is polarized into apparently irreconcilable opposing extremes. At the same time, the only possible way to bridge the divide and to begin a process of healing is for humanity to see itself as one. The following article by Benjamin Krem's master reveal and illustrate both the problems and the solution, and so point the way forward. It is entitled Creating the Sword of Cleavage. From time to time, there appears among men a figure who embodies the best or the worst that men can show. These individuals become the most loved or the most hated of men. In either case, they usually draw to themselves many followers or devotees. Such figures have enormous magnetic appeal for the majority of men, or on occasion are an inspiring example of destructive power on a large scale. The history books are full of examples of both types. Today, in large numbers, many examples of both types are manifesting worldwide. The effect of this manifestation is to set before humanity two opposing lines of action, and so create the tension of choice, which will determine the future of the race. In biblical terms, this is the sword of cleavage. For many years, the energies emanating from and directed by Maitreya have sought to create such confrontation of opposites. This may seem strange indeed to many people, but it is essential that humanity make the correct choices for its future. Otherwise, that future would be bleak indeed. The sword of cleavage is the energy we call love, wielded by Maitreya. It sets brother against brother and tests the true divine consciousness of men everywhere. The ultimate aim of all evolution is to establish on earth the kingdom of God, and the sword of cleavage shows men the way.
The teaching of Maitreya is simple. One might think that his priorities would seem obvious to all men. Sadly, this is not the case. Maitreya presents a future of tranquility and peaceful endeavor as the inevitable result of sharing and justice for all, the creation of a world where no man lacks, where no 2 days are alike, where the joy of brotherhood manifests through all men. How is it possible, you might think, to gainsay such a message of hope? Is this not the future yearned for by everyone? It is the future hoped for by the majority of men, but not by all. Humanity stands on different rungs of the evolutionary ladder. Above a certain level, all bodes well for men. It is those who have not as yet manifested that measure of their divine self, who do not recognize that sharing is divine, that justice and right relationship are divine, but who see divinity as competition and conflict and register a man's worth by the weight of his gold. Many are fearful and suffering, bereft of work and hope for the future. They struggle from day to day. But many others are making their future for themselves, and many too are dying in the process. Throughout the world, men are awakening to the possibility of a better life with freedom and justice at its heart. Have no fear, the people's voice is rising, and like a contagion, affecting more and more. Maitreya stands behind those who live or die for the truth of freedom, justice, and the unity of man. The young lead the way, and the future is for them.
Now I'm going to read an article by David Suzuki entitled, It's Time to Heed Warnings About Humanity's Collision Course. The longer we delay addressing environmental problems, the more difficult it will be to resolve them. Although we've known about climate change and its potential impacts for a long time, and we're seeing these impacts worsen daily, our political representatives are still approving and promoting fossil fuel infrastructure as if we had all the time in the world to slow global warming. We can't say we weren't warned. In 1992, a majority of living Nobel Prize winners and more than 1,700 leading scientists worldwide signed a remarkable document called World Scientists' Warning to Humanity. It begins, human beings and the natural world are on a collision course. Human activities inflict harsh and often irreversible damage on the environment and on critical resources. If not checked, many of our current practices put at serious risk the future that we wish for human society and the plant and animal kingdoms, and may so alter the living world that we will be unable to sustain life in the manner that we know. Fundamental changes are urgent if we are to avoid the collision our present course will bring about. It then outlines critical areas where the collision was and is still occurring: the atmosphere, water resources, oceans, soil, forests, species extinction, and overpopulation. In the 25 years since it was published, the problems have worsened. The document grows bleak. No more than one or two or a few decades remain before the chance to avert the threats we now confront will be lost and the prospects for humanity immeasurably diminished. We, the undersigned, senior members of the world's scientific community, hereby warn all humanity of what lies ahead. A great change in our stewardship of the earth and life on it is required if vast human misery is to be avoided and our global home on this planet is not to be irretrievably mutilated.
Now, as monthly and annual records for rising global average temperatures continue to break, as extreme weather events become more frequent and severe, as refugees overwhelm the capacity of nations, and as tipping points for climatic feedback loops and other phenomena are breached, the need to act is more urgent than ever. The warning suggests 5 steps needed immediately. That was a generation ago. They can still help prevent the worst impacts. The first step, we must bring environmentally damaging activities under control to restore and protect the integrity of the Earth's systems we depend on. It specifically mentions reducing greenhouse gas emissions and air and water pollution. It also highlights the need to address deforestation, degradation and loss of agricultural soils, and extinction of plant and animal species. And the second step is, we must manage resources crucial to human welfare more effectively. This one is obvious. Finite resources must be exploited much more efficiently or will run out. And number 3, we must stabilize population. This will be possible only if all nations recognize that it requires improved social and economic conditions and the adoption of effective voluntary family planning. Number four, we must reduce and eventually eliminate poverty. And number five, we must ensure sexual equality and guarantee women control over their own reproductive decisions. The warning recognises that we in the developed world are responsible for most global pollution and therefore must greatly reduce overconsumption while providing technical and financial aid to developing countries. This is not altruism but self-interest, because all of us share the same biosphere. Developing nations must realise environmental degradation is the greatest threat to their future, while rich nations must help them follow a different development path. The most urgent suggestion is to develop a new ethic that encompasses our responsibility to ourselves and nature, and that recognises our dependence on Earth and its natural systems for all we need. The document ends with a call for support from scientists, business and industrial leaders, religious heads and all the world's peoples. Like Pope Francis's groundbreaking 2015 encyclical Laudato Si, the world scientists' warning to humanity was an attempt to galvanize the world to recognize the dangerous implications of humanity's path and the urgent need for change. Forewarned is forearmed. We can't let the lure of the almighty buck blind us. We must come together, speak up, and act for the good of all humanity. So more information about David Suzuki's article and his focus can be found at his website, davidsuzuki.org.
Now, the following letter illustrates what can be achieved at a local level to create harmony among different cultures. It is entitled, Greatness Comes From Everywhere, Open Letter to U.S. Mayors and Donald Trump. In an open letter to his colleagues and to Donald Trump, the mayor of Boise, Idaho, said it's up to his fellow mayors to work for all of their citizens. Here's a condensed version of Mayor David Beter's open letter published in December 2016. When it comes to immigration and refugees, presidents and Congress get to say, but mayors have to do. I'm the mayor of Boise, where immigrants have played a significant role since before Idaho's statehood. That role has had a major impact on the success of the city and state. President Donald Trump and Congress should keep Boise's experience and the experience of many cities in the United States in mind when addressing immigration and refugee issues. Thousands of Latino immigrants have pursued similar paths through hard, unpopular work on the road to better lives in the Boise Valley. Like Basque immigrants to Idaho, Latinos haven't always faced an easy road. As late as the 1950s, signs posted outside some doors in the area warned Mexicans, Negroes, Jews, Indians, and dogs to stay out. Again, fortunately, most Idahoans ignored that. The Latino contribution to our lives is unmistakable. Without them, many of Idaho's most important industries would have collapsed long ago. And so it is today with refugees. Boise is home to Bosnians, Somalis, Iraqis, and Syrians. Our city government reaches out through nearly all departments, police to ensure refugees know they are safe. Parks and recreation programs help refugee children enjoy our outdoors like all our children do. Library programs help with access to computers and other learning tools. Our arts and history programs help with cultural activities. We offer these same programs to all Boisians. We don't debate about who is more worthy or where they're from. We are a welcoming city. We all have work to do. Trump has promised to make America great again, but we in Boise know that greatness comes from everywhere. And the source for that article was from dailycause.com from the Idaho State Journal.
This next article is titled, Colombia Approves Revised Peace Accord. Colombia's Congress approved a revised peace accord between the country's government and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, short form FARC, rebel group, in November 2016, formally bringing an end to 52 years of war. Congressional approval came 6 weeks after an earlier version of the agreement had been narrowly defeated in a popular vote. Only days after that initial defeat, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to Colombia's president, Juan Manuel Santos, for his resolute efforts. The Nobel Committee expressed their hope that the prize would give him strength to succeed in the furtherance of this demanding task. While concerns with the agreement remain among some groups, the new accord includes the following elements. FARC will declare and turn over all its assets, the money to be designated for reparation payments to victims. In the immediate time ahead, members of FARC will leave their camps, relocate to sites throughout the country, and lay down their arms under UN supervision. FARC rebels are guaranteed representation in Congress, but cannot run in newly created districts and former conflict zones. Amnesty will be granted to junior members of FARC and some army soldiers for minor crimes committed. Special courts for drug trafficking and other serious crimes will be established. President Santos declared the agreement, and here's his quote, "the first step towards the consolidation of peace. Seizing this opportunity is a moment for union and not division. My job is to promote union, not polarization." So that was from the New York Times, CNN and BBC.
Now I have an article, a little article called "The Oneness of Humanity by the Master" through Benjamin Krem. The time is coming, soon coming, when men will see for themselves that the direction on which they are now embarked is false, fruitless for their future happiness and doomed to failure. Seeing this, they will pose the question, why this emptiness? Why do we fail to achieve the peace we seek? Where have we gone wrong? Turning then to Maitreya, they will evaluate his words, testing them for relevance to their plight. They will find that central to Maitreya's thought is the concept of oneness. Men trust, and men must, he will assure them, see themselves as one, each part of a united whole, the human family, and that all that they must do must reflect that oneness. The present failure to appreciate this reality, he will contend, is responsible for all our difficulties and troubles, our disharmony and fears, our conflicts and war. See your brother as yourself, says Maitreya. Create an international storehouse from which all can take. Only thus by sharing can the world be renewed, is his teaching. Only by sharing, he will affirm, will men find the happiness they seek. Sharing alone will bring justice and peace. Thus will Maitreya guide the thoughts of men towards the truth that he brings and is. Thus will Maitreya show men their errors and their solution to their dilemma. And thus will men take stock of their situation and in growing numbers realize the truth of his advice. More and more men will see that Maitreya's guidance and peace all inwardly crave, they will achieve it. Held back by fear until then, they will find in his simple teaching the answer to all their fears and woes. Naturally, not all will find in Maitreya the guidance they seek. Many indeed will find in his teaching all that they fear and hate. Gradually, however, the ardor of those who can respond and resonate to his simple words of truth will bring millions to his cause of justice and peace. His teaching, though simple, will penetrate the hearts of all those in whom love has not yet been extinguished. Thus will Maitreya work through the world, drawing to his side all who long for a new start, a simpler, happier world wherein to raise their families in peace and harmony. The day of declaration will be the signal for that new start on planet Earth.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed the program. Should you wish to contact us, you are welcome to write to us at Share International NZ, P.O. Box 34491, Birkenhead 0746. And we encourage you to check out the website share-international.org. Love and blessings to you all.